Our reading today is taken from the first chapter of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, reading from verse 1 through to verse 4, and you can find this on page 1001 of the Church Bible. The Supremacy of God's Son. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs.
Thank you, Dick and Sue. Do leave your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 1. We'll be referring to it throughout today's talk. Let's open our time now in God's Word in prayer. Heavenly Father, we live by your Word. You spoke and creation came into being. And you spoke in the past, and today you speak words of promise, even in our darkest days. For you have spoken to us by your Son. And so help us today to listen. Give us attentive ears, receptive hearts, and the grace to understand your word for us. Amen. Well, as far as earthlings go, we are the beings on this planet who love words. English has just over 500,000 words with some 1.5 million definitions. So we use some words over and over again, and we use them in different ways. Portuguese has 800,000 words. Polish, 140,000 words. Afrikaans, just 100,000 words. But to be fair, most of yours are about 20 syllables. We human beings love words. According to National Public Radio, we speak about 16,000 words a day. And by the way, it's a myth that women speak more words than men. That's not true. We speak about the same amount. When counted, men and women use the same number of words in a day. All of us like to talk, and we talk a lot. And we love writing words. Worldwide, just over 2 million new books are published every year. 2 million new books. If you want to read all the books that were written last year, good luck. A rough estimate suggests that there are 100 trillion words on the internet. And if a picture is worth 1,000 words, you could add another 7.5 quadrillion words to that count. We love words. But how many of our words are of actual value? Of the words that you will speak and of the words that you will listen to this year, how many are commendable? How many are worthy of listening to? How many are life-giving? And who is it that you're listening to? Because who we listen to matters, because words are the currency of relationship. When we communicate with one another, our words are the means by which we express ourselves. They're the means by which we make ourselves known, and they're the way that we get to know others. So who are you listening to? Who are you speaking to? If you're here listening to me, my hope and my prayer is that you want, or at least are intrigued, about the prospect of hearing from God, of listening to him, of knowing him, of having a relationship with him. And to that end, we're going to turn to the Bible, God's Word, looking at the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, a book that was written to ethnically Jewish Christians who were not doing so well in their faith because they had drifted away from God. They drifted away from Christ. And this letter was written to encourage them to seek God again by fixing their eyes on Jesus, God's Son. And in the opening verses of this letter, Hebrews tells us that our desire to hear from God is not a vain aspiration, because according to verses 1 and 2, God has spoken to us in various ways in the past, but now he speaks to us through his Son.
And this is good news, because according to verses 2 and 3, Jesus, God's Son, is the heir of all things, the creator of the world. He's the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. He's the sustainer of the universe. He's the one who cleanses our sin. And he's the one who sits at the right hand of God in majesty. And therefore, he is superior to all other messengers or messages. And if you'll permit me, I'd like for us to reflect on the opening verses of Hebrews, which begins with these words. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. The first thing that we can see from this passage is that God has never been silent in the world. Indeed, from the Bible, we know that everything that was brought into existence by the power of God's word. God spoke, and the universe came to be. And in the Bible, we have a record of God speaking throughout history. God spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, building a relationship with them, watching it break down, and then promising them that one day they would be saved from sin and death and Satan. And later, God spoke to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, promising them that he would be their God if they would be his people. God spoke to Moses when he led his people, Israel, out of slavery. And God spoke to Israel's kings and her prophets, promising them that one day he would save the world through an eternal, perfect king that would come from King David's line. And in the New Testament, God sent angels, messengers, to herald good news. News that God's promised king, his son, was born. It's what we just celebrated at Christmas. God has been communicating with us throughout history through a variety of people and through a variety of means, revealing himself to humanity. And in every single one of these instances where God communicated with people in history, his goal was to progressively point us to and prepare us for receiving his Son, Jesus Christ. This is why in our reading in Hebrews, we're told that in the past, God has communicated with us in many different ways, but now in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. Everything that God had communicated in the Bible up to this point points us to Christ, to receiving him, to receiving God's Son. God is a speaking God, and he speaks to us through his Son. And this is good news. Because in the sea of words that we will speak and listen to this year, God is speaking to you. The God who created you, who knows you better than yourself, who knows all things, every word that has ever been dreamt, uttered, he knows. And he's speaking to you. The good news is that God is a speaking, communicating God, and he has made us known to him. He's made us so that we can be in relationship with him, to hear his voice. This is good news. And because many people assume that if there is a God, he's silent, or that he stopped talking long ago. You know, for many people, we assume that at best, God is a little bit like the universe's tech support, a faceless mechanism in an equally faceless cosmic corporation. He's maybe working behind the scenes on the mechanics of the universe, but that at best, God is some sort of distant divine technician who keeps the servers running, but who's not personally involved in our lives or available to us when we need him. When we call out to him, he puts us on hold with no chance of speaking to a living, breathing being. But the truth is that God has made himself known to us, and he has communicated with us. He has made a way for us to connect with him, to hear from him. Our passage this morning tells us that God has spoken to us in many different ways in history, but that in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son. And this is particularly good news if you're here this morning exploring faith. It might be you go, new year, new plan, I'm going to try to figure out who God is. If that's you, this is really good news. Because it can be intimidating trying to figure out what you believe about God. And it's hard to know where to start, what books to read, what sources to trust. If that describes you, I'd encourage you, start with Jesus. Because God has spoken to us through his Son. And so if you want to connect with God, all you have to do is look to Jesus. In the Old Testament, God spoke to us and he directed us to his Son. In the New Testament, in the Gospels, we have an account written in the first century, within the first 100 years of when Jesus was alive, died, and resurrected. We have that account. You can read of Jesus' life. And later in the New Testament, we have books like Hebrews, which were written to explain more about who Jesus is and to explain what it means to put your faith in him and have a relationship with God. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, come see me at the end of the church, and I'll give you one today. But I'll only give you one if you promise to read it. To read about Jesus, God's Son. By the way, I'll read it with you, or I'll find somebody to read it with you. We can read the Bible one-to-one. You don't have to do it on your own. But to read of Jesus, because God has spoken to us. He's spoken to us in the past through his prophets, and now he speaks to us today through his Son, who we can know through faith. The promise of the Bible is that you can know and have a relationship with God by putting your faith in his Son, and that God speaks to us through that relationship of faith, that as you grow to know Christ and trust him, God will speak to you, communicating himself to you through his Son. And so if you want to hear from God, you need to turn to Jesus in faith. And for those of us who do know God, who have put our faith in Christ, it's worth considering, of the millions of words that you will listen to this year, how many of them will be from God? Of the hundreds of hours that you will spend this year watching TV, reading books, surfing the web, talking to a colleague, how many of them will be focused on God's Son? For if God speaks to us by his Son, it is reasonable to ask, how much of your time are you spending with Jesus? How much of your time do you carve out for him each day? Do you prioritize church on a Sunday and your home group midweek, where you have the privilege to prayerfully listen to God as his Spirit works in our hearts and as we dive into his word? Are you speaking of Christ with others? Are you speaking to Christ in prayer? Of the millions of words that you will speak and listen to this year, how many will contribute to drawing you closer to God? God speaks through his Son. Are you listening? In church life, we constantly have a communications problem. So there'll be an event that we've planned out a couple months out, and it'll have been in the church diary 6 months ago when we put it in at the very beginning of the new school year. And it'll be promoted in the news sheet. I hear some people read it. It'll be announced from up front, and it'll be posted on the website, on Facebook, and in the WhatsApp groups, and usually there's a flyer or two in the foyer. But inevitably, the week of the event, someone will march up to a member of the staff team and say, I didn't know that this was happening. Why wasn't this event publicized? I think there's a real communications problem in this church. And when that complaint comes to me, I say, well, we put it in the church diary 6 months ago, and we promoted it in the news sheet, and we announced it from up front, and we posted it on the website and on our Facebook group and in the WhatsApp group, and there was a flyer too. So yes, there was a communications problem. It was on the listening side. Are you listening? God speaks to us by his Son. Are you listening? Are you prioritizing time with him? Are you attentive in your prayer life and the time you spend reading God's word? Does God get the best and first hours of your day, or does he get just what's left at the end? And listen, I know that most of us struggle to create spiritual disciplines in our lives. to create patterns and habits that prioritize the things that are most important. I get the idea that waking up each morning and spending time with Jesus might seem impossible if your life is busy. And I know that I have a job, unlike yours, that makes it really easy for me to spend time with Jesus. Because as a church pastor, I get paid to spend time with Jesus. Not bad. It's a good gig. It's the best privileged job in the world. But guess what? You don't have to create the pattern or the habit. It's already laid out for you. All you have to do is show up. If you just come to church on a Sunday and ring fence that time, and you go to your midweek home group each week, and you serve in some capacity in church for an hour a week where you engage with other people and you chat with them about Jesus, at the end of this year, you will have spent 250 hours with God, with his people, speaking and listening to God's word and focused on his son. So just by showing up with a willing spirit to the very basics of church life, by being willing to listen to God and making yourself available to him, you will grow. You will know him better. I guarantee it. God is speaking to us by his son. Are you listening? Are you prioritizing time with him? But as we consider that question, I'm aware that some might be asking the question, well, why? Why prioritize time with Jesus? You know, out of the billions of voices in the world and the millions of messages, why should I prioritize time with Jesus, someone who lived 2,000 years ago who isn't connected to my life? Why him? Why not some other spiritual voice or path? We live in a multimedia world where you can curate a bespoke diet of podcasts and websites. You can decide what you listen to. Anything in the world is in your hands. We can literally listen to any message the world has to offer in our fingers. We just hold our phone in front of us and there's the message right there. Why prioritize Jesus? This was the question that the Hebrew Christians who this letter was written to were asking, because they had turned to Christ to hear from God, but then they drifted. They drifted to alternative spiritual paths, with some of them focusing on angels and others thinking about going back to the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, and still others just kind of giving up on their faith altogether, or just being quite content with having kind of a superficial faith where they show up on a Sunday, but it never gets inside. Which is why in verses 2-4, the author of Hebrews endeavors to convince us that Christ is supreme, and that listening to him is essential. And if we turn to the middle of verse 2 from our reading from Hebrews, we get a sense of why Jesus is the final and supreme messenger of God. Let's read together from verse 2 to the middle of verse 3, where it says this. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Here we see that Jesus, God's Son, is the appointed heir of all things, and that he participated in the creation of the universe. That means that everything that God has made and everything that God has done, Jesus has also made and done, because by nature, Jesus is fully God. So in the same way that Prince George will one day inherit his grandfather's crown because he is royalty, Jesus is the heir of all things and the creator of the universe because by nature, he is fully God. In fact, verse 3 says that Jesus, the Son of God, is the radiance of God's glory. So in the same way that heat and light radiate from the sun, bringing life-giving warmth and energy to us, allowing us to enjoy the sun and to engage with the sun, God's glory radiates from Jesus. And Jesus brings to us every blessing that God has to offer, because Jesus is by nature God. And so when you prioritize Christ and you carve out time with him to read the Bible and to pray and to listen to him, when we read the Bible, that's when God speaks to us. When we pray to God, that's when we speak to him. That's how that communication relationship works. When you carve out that time, when you withdraw from the world and you leave the folly and the sin and the chatter of the world behind, and you rise up to be with Christ, and you consider his unbounding love for you, and you consider his character and his perfection, and you focus your attention on you, he shines on you as you pray and you read his word. Christ comes to you and he changes you as he influences you with his spirit. And just as the sun's beams reach you as you bask in the sun, so too God will reach you and be with you through his son. God's glory radiates from Jesus. And Jesus brings to us every blessing that God has to offer because Jesus is God in the flesh. He is by nature God. And notice in verse 3, it says that Jesus is the exact representation of God's being. That means that if you want to know what God is like, all you have to do is look to Jesus. Yes, I have three kids, all boys. And guess what? They all feature me. You don't need to do a DNA test. They are Wallers. You know, square face, you know, cheeky smile. They have my looks. They have my mannerisms. They have my intonation. They're spitting images of their dad. Just look at them. Well, here it says that Jesus is the exact representation of God's being. He is the spitting image of God. He is identical to God because Jesus is God, fully God. God entered into our world. God himself came to us. And this means that if you know Christ, if you've put your faith in him, you can have a personal, real relationship with God. And so if you wonder, what is God like? The good news is you can look to Jesus and see God because he's the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Jesus entered into our world and he offers us a real relationship with God. But of course, that means that if you want to connect with God, you have to come to grips with who Jesus is. He is the one and only God who created us. He is the one and only God who shines truth and goodness and glory into the world. Jesus is the final and perfect messenger of God because he is God. But Jesus is more than God's messenger. He's also God's message. He is good news to all of the earth. Good news that we desperately need. Because we live in a world that is broken, and we don't have to look very far to see evidence of that brokenness. Just turn on your TV, flip open your computer, listen to the radio. So much of the news is full of tragedy every day. We can draw on countless examples of people acting horribly towards one another. And if we're honest and look inward, every one of us knows the power and the destruction of anger, gossip, envy, bitterness. In fact, many of us will experience the effects of the broken world we live in today because we can be selfish towards one another. We can sin against one another. And that's the word that the Bible uses to describe this condition of brokenness in the world, sin. Sin is when we willfully disobey God and when we reject his rule in our lives, and the effects of sin are all the mess that we see in the world. The consequences of rebelling against God are all the evils that we see in this world. And ultimately, the consequence of sin is that we're cut off from God, cut off from his goodness, cut off from his life, cut off from relationship with him, because we've counted ourselves as enemies of God on account of our rebellion. We've rejected God. Said, God, shove off. I want to do my own thing. But there is good news. Jesus is God's good news. He is God's message of hope. The good news is that God did not abandon the world or us, but rather he entered into the world to save us. Jesus came into the world, not just to communicate good news, but to be good news. He came on a rescue mission, a reconciliation mission, a mission to draw us back into relationship with God. And the writer of Hebrews describes how Jesus rescues us in verse 3. In verse 3, it says that Jesus sustains all things by his word of power. See, God could have wiped us out because of our sin. And he would have been just in doing so. Because he's absolutely perfect and pure and cannot tolerate sin, but instead, in his mercy, he sustains the world through his Son. On account of our sin, the whole world should have fallen to pieces. In Romans chapter 8, it says that the creation groans under the weight of our sin. But Jesus sustains the universe with his mighty word. And in verse 3, we're told that Jesus not only sustains the universe, but that he also provides purification for sins. That is, he washes our sins away. He did this at the cross. At the cross, Jesus took away our sin by dying in our place. He died the death that we deserved. He paid the price for our sin. And at the cross, a miraculous swap took place, wherein Jesus took our sin upon himself, and he gave us his perfect record of righteousness, purifying us, so that when God looks at you, you are counted as pure and holy on account of Jesus' purity and his holiness. This means that when you know Christ, there's nothing that stands between you and God. You can come to God without fear, without shame, in perfect purity, no matter what you've done. Because Jesus purifies us of our sins. And finally, in verse 3, we're told that Jesus sits at the right hand of majesty in heaven. And this is good news for the broken world that we live in, because despite all of the evils that still exist in this world, we have hope. Because Jesus is alive and reigning in heaven, and he will return one day to right all wrongs. But right now, he is sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he is mindful of us. He receives us. He speaks to us through his word, the Bible. And he receives our prayers and presents them to his Father. And daily he visits us with the influence of his Spirit, just as the sun reaches us with its beams. So wherever you are in the world, no matter what's going on in your life, when you prioritize time with Jesus, you are transported to the throne room of God. You have God's ear. And you can listen to him. And when you do this, he will excite and awaken spiritual life in you. God will speak to you. You can enjoy fellowship with him because Christ received you and purified you and united himself to you. And so just as he is in the throne room of God, you too are in the throne room of God as you're united to Christ in faith. And with this in mind, why on earth would you prioritize any other voice? Every day we have the opportunity to speak with God and to listen to him, to have the ruler and maker of the universe reflect on us, instruct us and counsel us and care for us and love us. We can bask in his light. We can see God as we spend time with Jesus. We can be in the presence of God when we come to Christ in faith. Why on earth would we choose instead to sit in the dim light of our phones? Why on earth will we listen to the keyboard warriors in the chat room? Why on earth would we prioritize other voices? For Christ is far superior. In verse 4 to the end of chapter 1, the author of Hebrews demonstrates that Jesus is superior to angels. This is because the Hebrew Christians who he was writing to were enamored with the idea that they might communicate with God through angels. And next week we'll explore more and see that Jesus is indeed superior to the angels. But the reason why I've included verse 4 in this week's passage, even though it belongs in next week's passage, is because it's a good reminder that there are competing voices. We're flooded with voices, words, ideas, media. We have every message and messenger available into us in our hands. And some of those messages and messengers are good. Some are bad. You know, some are very impressive, like an angel. I mean, if an angel came to me, I'd listen, wouldn't you? But none of them are better than God. And with this in mind, as we close, my hope for this year is that you would connect with and enjoy God by putting your faith in and prioritizing His Son. Because the good news is that God has made a way for us to connect with Him. And we don't have to prove our worth. We don't have to wade through endless books to find the answers to the questions that we have. We don't have to search for God because He communicates with us. He's spoken to us by His Son. All we have to do is listen well, trusting that Jesus is the heir of all things, the creator of the world, the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of His being, and that Christ has made a way for us to unite with God as we unite to Him in faith. So when you put your faith in Christ, you're united to Him, and He will purify you of your sins. He will cleanse you, and He creates a way for us to come into the presence of God. For Jesus sits at the right hand of His Father in majesty, and He invites us to join Him in the holy communion of the Trinity. As we put our faith in Him, and as His Spirit works in our hearts to draw us into the presence of His Father. And this is why Christ is supreme. He is better than any other messenger or message. Jesus is the greatest. Therefore, listen to Him, prioritize Him, and put your faith in Him. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Your word teaches us that You speak to us by Your Son. Help us by Your grace to give Him our attention. Remind us daily to seek out Christ, to listen to Your word, to be receptive to Your Spirit, and to trust in faith that You allow us to participate in the divine life of the Trinity through Your blessed Son. May our words and our thoughts and our actions be focused on Him. Amen.